In the house of the Lord today, amen. Did you appreciate Brother Kenny and him bringing a message today of what the children's home is doing? I know I sure do. It's awesome to see what you guys are doing. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Haggai. We're going to continue in our study of Haggai today. God is good, isn't he? All the time. All right. Well, as we began in this study, we realized God had a word to each one of us that he has been speaking to us about putting him first, letting him fill in the blanks, letting him be the one who leads us and guides us. It's all about God, isn't it? God is good all the time. As you guys get open to Haggai, we're going to continue through our study today, and you guys get the message back there with the zip drive. All right, if you want to go ahead and bring it up, guys. Here's the deal: we're all sinners. Do I get an amen to that? Yeah. If there's anybody in here without sin, you'll be the first one that ever lived, and I don't think it's possible because we live in a human condition that started out in the garden with the first disobedience, and we're all destined to follow in that same footsteps. So, you know, sin defiles, and there's no way to change that. And by defiling, it makes dirty, it makes unclean whatever it touches. But it's only God who can make holy again. That's what is going to be impressed upon us today in our reading of Haggai chapter 2. We're going to be reading verses 10 through 23. We realized last week as we met together that God said that they were rebuilding the temple at that time. They had undergone the judgment of God and been away from their homeland for 70 years because of it. Guys, I can tell you, God does discipline his people. Do I get an amen? He disciplines his people. When we're wrong, he disciplines us. And I can tell you, our nation right now is poised to be majorly disciplined. And if you don't think that that's true, all you got to do is just read Romans chapter 1 and see that the signs that we're seeing right now in America, the defilement of sin, is a sign that we are under God's hand of judgment. It isn't a matter that we're going to be judged. I believe we're already being judged. And that's why we have the sexual immorality that is just going so rampant and to such a point and to such unbelievable magnitudes. I mean, whenever I hear that statistic that over 200,000 kids are going to enter into human trafficking, somewhere between there and 500,000 in the United States, I mean, does that not break your heart? Does that not make you wonder, what are we going to do? What can we do? And I can tell you, in our human strength, just by ourselves, there's really not anything we really can do to straighten out the problem, because the problem runs deeper than just us. If all we do is go out as a crusader on our own and think somehow we're going to do this and we're going to straighten this out and we're going to chastise people and they're going to stop and all of this type of thing, I mean, really, honestly, you're going to become very, very frustrated, and You're going to have such a burden, you're not going to be able to deal with it. But what we got to understand is that God is the only one that can make something holy again. We need a movement of God like we've never seen before, is what we need. And God desires to bring that. He wants us to pray. Let's read. As Haggai, they had returned. They were rebuilding the temple. He had just told them that he would be with them. He was going to be with them to rebuild this temple as they were obedient to him. And he also told them there's going to be a temple to come that was going to be greater. And so praise God, we know he's talking about Jesus there. And we also know he was talking about us, because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do I get an amen? Do you realize that as a blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ, you got the Holy Spirit living in you? Man, that is great. That is amazing. That is astounding. And it should—it really should control our lives at this point, guys. Don't involve yourself willingly in willful, disobedient sin and continue on in it, because it grieves God. And he's going to have to he's going to have to do something about it. Let's start at chapter 2, verse 10. Let's all stand for the reading, if we could today. Haggai 10, verse 10, chapter 2, verse 10. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, now ask the priests concerning the law, saying, if one carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and with the edge he touches bread or stew, wine or oil, or any food, will it become holy?" Then the priests answered and said, "No." And Haggai said, "If one who is unclean because of a dead body touches any of these, will it be made unclean?" So the priests answered and said, "It shall be unclean." Then Haggai answered and said, "So is this people, and so is this nation before me, says the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. And now carefully consider, from this day forward, from before stone was laid upon stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days when one came to a heap of 20 ephahs, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw out 50 baths from the press, there were but 20. I struck you with blight and mildew and hail in all the labors of your hands. Yet you did not turn to me, says the Lord. Consider now from this day forward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed still in the barn? As yet the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yielded fruit. But from this day I will bless you." And again, the word of the Lord came to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, "Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake heaven and earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them. The horses and the riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts." Let us pray. Dear God, as we have read these words, we know that this was for a particular time and a particular place and in a very specific way. But we also know that there's something for us to learn for today. So, Lord, I pray you'd speak to us and help us to learn from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can have a seat. So as we read this, through the prophet Haggai, God has some questions. And what we gain from these questions, the questions about the law, is that anything that we do of our own hands from the flesh is only making things worse. Do I get an amen? It was that way in this day, and he was saying, so is everything that's done from the human hand here. In fact, he has these questions about if you carry the holy meat in the fold of the garment. Let's go to that next slide. We got to realize, guys, it isn't us that makes something holy or unholy. In fact, whenever we put, whenever we defile something with sin, it just automatically makes it unclean or unholy. But here's the thing, God can make it holy. And only God can make it holy. He says, if one carries meat in the fold of his garment, and the edge of it, he touches bread or stew or wine or any food, will it become holy? I mean, this would be like, we have some misguided individuals in another denomination that thinks that somehow or another they can bless water and make it holy, and anything that water touches becomes holy. And I can just tell you, that's just hocus pocus, guys. Only God can make something holy. Only God can make a person holy. And I can tell you, if you want to dwell in heaven, you have to be holy. It is the only way for you to dwell in heaven. And you can't be holy on yourself, in yourself, or by the work of your own hands. It's going to have to be God who makes you holy. And so just like if we have something that even God has made holy and we take it around and touch other people with it, that's not going to make the other people holy, is it? They have to have a touch from Jesus Christ himself. Okay? They have to have a touch from Jesus Christ Himself. Now, it's good that we want to help in whatever way we can, but the only way we can really help is by being obedient to God. So let's go on to the next slide and think about, we defile the holy with that death of sin. Because you see, if one who is unclean because of the dead body touches any of those things that God's made holy, will it make it unclean? And they said, yeah, it'll be unclean at that point. It's the stench, the death. Do you realize sin brings death? Guys, even what we consider just be little sins ultimately bring death. You know, whenever you had Adam and Eve in the garden, the fruit looked good. The fruit looked good to her and to him as well. And they didn't understand why God said, don't eat it. Although God did say, as soon as you do, you shall surely die. But what did Satan do? He came along and he just made them doubt God for just a moment. That's all it took. It's just doubt him just a little bit. Here's the deal, guys. You may not all totally understand every reason why God tells you to live in a certain way or to believe the way that he shows us in the Word. You may not understand it all, but out of trust in God and in faith, that's what faith is doing it even though we don't understand it. And you see, as we do that and we are obedient, then God steps into the equation. Everything that we do, guys, is like trying to clean a small spot of grease off a white shirt with dirty hands. Did you ever see that happen? Next slide. I just got to thinking about my son Josiah, and I don't always use my children as sermon illustrations because I don't want them to dread coming to church. But I can remember one time, you know, I'd shown him that while he was eating, he had gotten some food on his shirt. That was the worst thing in the world I could have ever done because his hands were still dirty. And he meant well, guys. I am so proud of my son because he wanted to try to clean that. But no matter how hard he tried with that dirty hand, it just kept spreading it around worse. And you know, guys, whenever God looks at us trying to clean ourselves up, that's what we look like. And as proud as I am of Josiah, I was thinking, that isn't ever going to work. That will never work. It would be like me working on a car. Did you ever notice as soon as you get all greasy, your nose always itches? And then you realize you did it. And so then you try to clean it off. You kind of getting the idea? That's what happens with sin, guys. We're sinners. And a sinner can't clean sin off by ourselves. Because the sinner's just going to keep spreading the sin. We can't clean other people up. Because, guys, we got it on our hands already. You see, the only thing we can do is point them to the one who can. And only God can clean us up because we got greasy hands. I started to do like a personal demonstration today in front of you guys, but I figured you could get the picture without me actually spreading grease, okay? So that's what Haggai answered and said, so is this people. You go back to the one before there, brother. So is this people, and so is this nation before me, says the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. Guys, there's a lot of well-intentioned people. Some of them are even in Washington, D.C., I know it's hard for us to imagine there's anybody in Washington, D.C. that's actually meaning good, but there's some of those folks that actually do think somehow or another they can straighten out the world with their own efforts. Some of them think that the main problem with the world is we're just getting too hot around here. You know, we got global warming and we're all going to die because it's just getting too hot. And so out of their good intentions, they are doing everything humanly possible to try to straighten out the world. Well, let me ask you something, guys. Did it feel too hot earlier this week? It didn't feel too hot around here to me. In fact, I was thinking about those poor people that were saying, I can't really breathe anymore. It's just too hot. I thought, I wonder if they can breathe any better today. Guys, God's got that part. What we need to be concerned about is the sin part. Because the sin part's the problem part. And it's the sin that's destroying our nation. The sin is a reproach to any people, guys. It's a reproach to God. And God has to discipline a nation that follows after sin. And you know, we can look at the nation, we can say, boy, that Washington, D.C., they need to get things straightened out. And they do. But I'll tell you, when Washington, D.C. will get straightened out is whenever I decide to get straightened out. And whenever you decide to take upon yourself to get right with God, and you decide to spread that to your neighbor, and to spread that to their neighbor, and as it multiplies, that's what's going to straighten out our nation, guys. I don't think climate change is our problem. I think the problem needs to be a change of the heart, okay? The problem needs to be a change of the heart. And here's where we find the answer. We're going to find the answer in obedience. Obedience to faith in God. Not just obedience to what I think is right, because I'm going to tell you, from one person to the next, you notice there's lots of differences in what one person thinks is right as according to another person. But I can tell you the Word of God is right. And the Word of God is right about sin. And the Word of God says that every person is a sinner, and every person needs the cleansing of God. And so the Word of God is right on this, and He was right the day that He spoke through Haggai to the people, and He said, consider now, from this day forward. So they had been struck with a blight at that time because of their disobedience. And even though they went back to Jerusalem, they were still only being partially obedient. They weren't, you know, they decided they were going to rebuild the temple, but they got distracted. Just like we get distracted. And we get to start to trying to build our own lives rather than building God's kingdom. And you see, as soon as God had their attention and they went back and they started rebuilding that temple, He said, from this day on, you go plant your seed. You go look at that pomegranate tree. You go look at that olive tree, because I'm going to tell you something. I will bless you from this day forward. Do you want to see fruitfulness in your life? Then you obey God. You obey what God says. You use your life, your resources to put Him first, and I can assure you God will bless it. Do you want to see our nation blessed? God bless America? Then let us be in America God can bless. You pray for our nation that righteousness will exalt our nation. The only kind of righteousness that He's going to accept is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's not going to be the righteousness of my imagination or your imagination or anybody else's imagination out there, because that's like filthy rags to God. It's only that which is of faith in Jesus Christ that He is going to accept. And I'll tell you, whenever He accepts it fully. That obedience to faith in God is exactly what He's looking for. And so at this time, Jesus was yet to come. In fact, He went on to tell Zerubbabel, He said, you know, in a little while, I'm going to shake heaven and earth. And I'm just going to tell you, guys, when Jesus came on the scene, He shook heaven and earth. He absolutely shook things up. He's going to continue to shake things up till Jesus returns. But here's the deal, guys. He said, you know what? Because of your obedience, Zerubbabel, I'm going to use you like a signet ring. Do you know what a signet ring is? Does anybody know what a signet ring is? I got a wedding ring. And this wedding ring is a representation. So what's a signet ring, Phoenix? There you go. It's like a signature, signet, okay? And so what would happen is, whenever the king was going to choose somebody to be his ambassador, to have his authority, to speak for him in another place and to carry out the king's authority, he would give him a ring, and it had the signature of the king on the ring. Might be just his initial or something about his kingdom on that ring. And whenever someone wore that ring, I'm just going to tell you, when they spoke, they had the authority of the king. And so He speaks of Zerubbabel here, and He says, I'm going to use you as a part of My plan to the line of this king, and you are going to have My authority because of your obedience. And I want you to know something, church. You have His authority today. As you stand before your God in obedience, and then you speak the authority of God's Word. Not my opinion, not your opinion, not anybody else's opinion or what you heard from a good preacher someday, and it must be true because I trust him, but you speak from the authority of God's Word. You have His signet ring on you at that time, and you're putting God's seal on that statement, and I can tell you, that is what brings blessing. Brings blessing in your family. And now here's the other part of the news. Now, after you speak it, they're also going to look to see if you're doing it. Because if you're doing it, what you're doing is you're smashing that, what they would do with the signet ring, they would seal something with a piece, with a blob of hot wax, and they'd smash that ring down in it. It took action. And it sealed the document with the authority of the king. And what you're doing when you read this or you speak the authority of this word, that's good. You just put it in a document. Now whenever you live it, you're sealing it with the authority of God. And you know what our children, we've been talking a lot about children today. You know what our children are looking for more than anything? Sure, they want to hear us say it, but they're looking for us to live it. And I'm not just talking about your own kids, you know? Because, yeah, you know, all of us have some authority in our own families or children or nieces, nephews, maybe my life right now, grandchildren, you know? Praise God that we have some authority. But guys, even the children in the world are looking at you to see, are you living it? Are you living what that word says and what you speak? He wants us to live it. And here's the deal, guys. Because of that, God will be willing to use us as His tool to accomplish His purpose in this world. In fact, he says there in verse 23 to Zerubbabel, "In that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel." Remember, last week we read he's in the line of Jesus. His name is in the New Testament, in the genealogy of Jesus, says the Lord, "and will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts." Guys, he's chosen us. We are his chosen people. He has chosen us to use us in this chain of faith that he is still playing out on this earth. You are important to more than just yourself. You are important to the generations to come. Guys, Christianity is one generation from extinction in America. Christianity is one generation from extinction in America. It is completely dependent on us obeying God and carrying out His plan to see it passed down to the next generation. Now, here's the thing. We can't do it in our own strength. Remember, we learned if we just try to do it in our own strength, we do it according to our wisdom, our ways, the way I think it should be done, it'll be like a filthy rag. It's just going to defile more because they're going to see the hypocrisy of it. But guys, if we do it by the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit of God and we just obey Him and do what He says, we've got His authority. And He will do it. Did I ever tell you about the vision I had? I don't speak a lot about visions and things like that because, you know, I think sometimes other powers can mess with our mind, but this was definitely from God. We were at family camp, and we had spent quite a bit of money to go, and I'm not big on taking vacations, but this was like a vacation with a purpose, and it was about being built up in the Lord. We were in family camp, and I had this vision in the middle of the night. I wasn't totally asleep, I was walking toward this group that was praising God. It was dark, and there was a fire, and I could just see from the light of the fire that they were celebrating, they were praising, and before I got a little bit closer, I just began to recognize this was a lot of my family members, and they were around, they were praising God together. And it was like God was in their midst, and that actually turned out to be the light that was radiating. And I felt this, and I went to take another step, and something grabbed the pant leg, just like this, and just held me back. And I turned around and looked, and there was nobody standing there. You know, it was kind of dark, and I realized it was a small child. And I looked down, and it was my little grandson, Nady Boy. How many of you guys know Nady Boy? Nady Boy is the most loving little child. I am so thankful God sent him to me. Because Nady Boy is the kind, when he sees me, he lavishes me with love. He just makes me feel so loved, like I got love dripping off of me after I see him. And he's got me by the leg here, and he says, "Papa, Papa." I look down, and I said, what do you want, Nady Boy? And he goes, "What are they doing?" And I said, "They're praising Jesus." And he said, "Papa, I want to go praise Jesus like them. And like you." And I'm just going to tell you something. I said, "Then come on, Nady Boy, let's go join them." And whenever I got there, it was everybody in my family praising Jesus together. And God said, it matters. It matters. If you spend every penny you have that you will ever possess to pass this faith down to your children and your grandchildren, it'll be worth it. And I can tell you, I went away from that feeling completely different about what we were there to do. And do you know, right after I got home, Nanny Boy told me he'd given his heart to Jesus and he wanted to be baptized. I'm just going to tell you guys, it matters. Let's pass this faith down to more than just our children and grandchildren, but to the whole next generation. And let's spend everything we've got in our life to do it. It'll be worth it. Jesus wants to use you. He's called you. You're His chosen instruments to do it. Not just to the children, but there's a lot of adults out there that are like small children on the inside and they need it too, folks. Let's just do it for God's glory. And if we die spending our last penny to bring the next person to the Lord right before we go into the arms of Jesus, guys, that'll be the greatest honor to say, Lord, I left it all on that playing field of life and I lived it for you. And He'll say, come to me. Well done, good and faithful servant. It'll be worth it. I've never seen a person on their deathbed ever say, I shouldn't have gave so much to the Lord. I've never seen a person on the deathbed say, I wish I hadn't spent so much time with my family. But I've seen plenty of people with regrets saying, I wished I would have done more with my family and for the Lord. Guys, I don't want to be there. I want to be able to enter into His glory, having given it all. It's going to take us encouraging one another to see that happen, okay? So let's pray. Dear God, I pray that You'll help us to finish well. Some of us haven't totally gotten started yet. So Lord, what we got to know is it's worth it. What we got to know is we can trust You. Lord, let us give our life to Jesus today. Some of us may have done it 40 years ago at a church service, but we haven't really lived it. I pray that today we would surrender to living it. Some of us may have never really totally made a commitment to Jesus and not sure how to go about it. I pray they might come forward today and we'll pray with them. We'll counsel them by the Word of God on how to give their life to Jesus. But Lord, no matter where we find ourselves, I pray that after this church service, we will find ourselves obeying Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.